I have texts for you this afternoon. The first of them is the beginning of Exodus 34, verse 7. And this was the verse that first drew me to the subject. Keeping mercy for thousands. Keeping mercy for thousands. And then in Exodus 20 and verse 6, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and at verse 9, very end of the verse, God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to a thousand generations. The need of mercy presupposes that we have done something wrong that we can't repay. There are other situations. A bully might come to us, take us by the throat. We might say, have mercy, have mercy. But normally where we voluntarily say, have mercy, it is because we know that we've done something wrong that actually we can't put right. We're in somebody else's hands. And if that somebody else opts not to take any notice of what we say, but to exact fully the punishment for what we've done, then there's nothing we can do about it. God isn't obliged, or if we're talking mercy generally, they're not obliged to have mercy. But the wonderful thing about God is that he has mercy. And in Exodus 34 verse 7 we're told he keeps mercy. This is a characteristic of God our Heavenly Father, which he has given to the Son to make reconciliation for our sins, and given to the Holy Spirit to bring that to pass in the life of each individual believer. But the Lord preserves mercy. He keeps it. He doesn't offer you the prospect of mercy and suddenly change his mind. He doesn't say that he'll offer you mercy and then he has no power to do it. He has both the power and he never changes. And he keeps mercy. But he keeps mercy for thousands. And in a gospel service, the first question the first statement that one comes up with, if for thousands, why not for me? In heaven, we're told in the book of Revelation, there will be a multitude that no man can number. When the Old Testament scripture says that he keeps mercy for thousands, that's meant to be an unlimited number. It's not an exact number. It's a huge number, which when the New Testament interprets the Old, says is a number that cannot be counted. So why not you? Mind you, the number of those who will enter into the resurrection of damnation will also be a number that cannot be counted. it would be good to consider why you and I need mercy. We have disobeyed God. Now, God is the supreme being. God is the supreme authority. He has the right to expect obedience which never wavers. And have we given it? Maybe we've sinned in ignorance. We didn't know. Maybe we hadn't heard the gospel. Maybe we did know and chose to do something else. But each one of us who knows the plague of his own heart will know that we do need mercy. And our approach to the living God who keeps mercy, which implies that we may approach him and ask for mercy, we can't presume that in our case he will give it. We can't just come to the Lord desiring mercy and expect it as a right. Mercy is that which is given of grace, of bounty, of forgiveness, full and free. It is a mercy kept for thousands and is given to thousands, but it has to be pleaded for. It has to be asked for. It has to be repented for and confessed for and pleaded with God for, that he will do what he doesn't have to do, that he will do what we can't make him do, but that he will have mercy on our souls. Why should he? Except there's something in his being that keeps mercy for thousands. Ah, but then there is the next text in Exodus 20 and verse 6. He showeth mercy unto thousands, which is a wonderful thing. But to thousands of them that love him. He shows mercy unto thousands of them that love me. If we got as far as pleading with Jehovah, with the Lord God, for mercy, and if we've got as far as receiving that mercy, and if we've got as far as the gratefulness of our hearts that binds us forever to such a God of mercy, and if we've got as far as knowing that that mercy is forgiven because a holy God can't just wink, that penalty was visited upon his Son on our behalf. And if we've got so far as to understand what Christ went through and the need for it, do we love him? Has that evoked in our hearts a devotion to such a God? He was obviously devoted to us if he kept mercy for us when he needn't have done so. But has our response to been love? Devotion, loyalty, service. So the Lord goes on to say not only that he keeps mercy for thousands, but that he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him. That all those whom he forgives, he creates in them a devotion. He needn't have saved them. They knew he might not save. We know he doesn't have to save us. But he drew us to the Saviour. He drew us to the gospel. And he drew us to that blood that had to be shed. And that draws out of us a corresponding love. We love him, but because he first loved us. But he shows mercy to thousands, keeps mercy for thousands, and shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him. The same thousands, I'm sure. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and in verse 9, the last words in that verse, to 1,000 generations. The whole verse reads, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, there's no way in which we as individuals can keep love towards him for 1,000 generations. We don't live that long. It has to refer to God. Now, the Lord thy God, he's God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So the Lord has mercy for thousands. Why not you? The Lord has mercy for thousands that love him. That's the step of our devotion, having received mercy, to love him in response to his love. And it is for 1,000 generations. Of course, it means that the Lord will do the same thing for thousands of people, thousands after thousands of years. But it also means that the Lord God will keep his mercy for 1,000 generations to each believer. That is, he will inherit heaven. He will inherit the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will live with him. He will praise him. Worthy the lamb that was slain will be the cry of those who've received mercy. But what does this verse tell us? We're told that the Lord keeps mercy to 1,000s. And then we're told that he keeps mercy for 1,000s who love him. And then we're called that he keeps mercy for 1,000 generations. In other words, what he begins, he will complete. What he begins with, he will never cease to do. We won't suddenly, if we believed in his mercy, be stranded 15 years into heaven. It's a silly thing to say, but you know what I mean. He has the power. He has the desire, seeing he's elected his own. He has the desire and he has the power to accomplish a perpetual mercy to them that love him that will never cease. I just wanted really to bring those three verses in succession to you. I could have preached a long while about mercy, but I don't think I have any need, for we know the needs of our own heart. It is for each one of us to cry to the Lord for mercy, to repent of sin, to come to him, knowing that there's room for thousands, that they will love him, and that over thousands of generations, eternity, that will never cease to hold good. It's a wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we are drawn to commit to in the Lord's mercy will never cease, even though we pass away. Amen.